The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to the Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is for the God-fearing, from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is filled with strength, scattering the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped Israel, the Lord's servant, in remembrance of mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. Please be seated. During this Christmas Advent season, there must be a resurgence of Bible documentaries and movies going on, because I saw this ad pop up in my Google Chrome browser on my work computer that was advertising the miniseries from the History Channel, The Bible. And it made me chuckle. It's so kind of typical, right? You got your perfectly manicured Jesus in pure white cotton robe with the scruffy Joseph on one shoulder, and then with an even smaller Mary in the background, making a facial expression somewhere in between concerned and fearful. Though, in many ways, I think this poster is kind of ridiculous. I think it does portray one thing correctly, and that is how our society treats Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary always seems to be just a little bit in the background. In fact, many paintings and renditions of the nativity scene focus on Joseph, in fact, more than they do Mary. Joseph, who in the Gospel of Luke has zero, count them, zero speaking parts. It is only in the Gospel of Matthew that Joseph speaks, of course, when in the Gospel of Matthew, the angel Gabriel appears to Joseph as well. Yet it is Joseph who gets painted as the strong, courageous person, many times leaving Mary as this little girl holding the baby. How nice. And then you get this whole church debate on the virginity of Mary, and the whole character of Mary gets warped even farther. She becomes this great science experiment, in which the church calls her body blameless and perfect, clean of all sin, right? We've heard that before. In fact, the 17th century Catholic saint, Saint Louis Marie de Montfort, wraps this whole treatment up of Mary quite succinctly by writing, "The Son of God became man for our salvation, but only in the body of Mary." Sometimes, in the way especially the church of the Middle Ages speaks and debates about Mary. I wonder whether we should see her as just kind of some holy oven whose purpose is just to solely cook up this heavenly Savior and pop it out for the world. The church is very guilty, not only with Mary, but with many, many other female figures in the Bible, of dumbing down, of characterizing falsely, or simply forgetting about the humanness of these female characters. Moses' sister Miriam is forgotten, even though she was most likely pivotal in leading the people of Israel through the desert. Ruth was a foreign-born temptress. The Samaritan woman must have been a prostitute because she slept with six different husbands. Mary Magdalene tempted Jesus through seduction. And Mary, the mother of God, was an empty vessel just waiting to be used by God for childbirth. All of these things have been said multiple times by highly regarded saints, pastors, priests, and theologians of the church. And it's downright despicable and disgusting. Many of you know I love Christmas carols and songs. In fact, we're going to be singing some this afternoon at our open house, so get ready. But there are some I don't like as much and find a little bit inaccurate. One common Christmas song that is actually quite old but has had a popular resurgence these days is titled "Mary, Did You Know?" Mary, did you know? In fact, a popular a cappella group, Pentatonix, just did a new music video on this song, by the way. And I want to come out and say to you, and no offense to any of you who hold this Christmas carol dear, but I really dislike this song. And here's why. One verse goes like this: "Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God." So here's the thing. Whoever wrote this song obviously didn't read the Gospel of Luke, because as we can see today, yes, Mary did know. This is what the whole Magnificat is about. "Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." The Magnificat, one of the most popular pieces of the entire New Testament and an anthem for the season of Advent. These are Mary's words. Mary, the mother of Jesus and prophet in her own right. Mary, courageous young woman who helped declare that God isn't finished doing new things in this broken world. Mary, who probably couldn't even read or write, is the first person to live out. John the Baptist preached about it, but Mary lived it. In fact, many people argue that Mary is one of the first disciples because she is a follower of Christ, living out this new age of Jesus Christ coming into the world. Mary wasn't just a vehicle for the light to be brought somewhere. Mary was the light. And in being the light, showed more perseverance. She showed more courage, more power, more grace than many of her male prophet counterparts. So today, not just peaceful Mary Sunday, as sometimes the church historically has called it. Oh, how nice. Today in my book is Take Back Mary Sunday. When we say, no more are the days when Mary is just known for her body, and no more are the days when the church can cast her aside as a means to an end. Instead, this day is about placing Mary back in her rightful place of prophet and doer of God's love. My soul magnifies the Lord. But in saying all of this, what does reclaiming of Mary actually mean for us and for our lives now? And I realize that this answer can't come entirely from me, a middle-class white male. It's the male-dominated theology structures, of course, that the church has used in the past that has got us into forgetting about major pieces of Mary. And I need to own a little bit of that. But with that being said, first, here's a beginning of an answer to this question. Reclaiming Mary is about teaching our young girls and women that they matter and that their leadership is welcome and needed by the church. And I'm not just talking about Sunday school, though Sunday school is important. We, too, need female preachers and teachers and prophets. We need women to masterfully declare he has brought down the power from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This is the radical and uncomfortable message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which needs to be told by more people than just men. But notice one thing that Mary does not talk about in these beloved words of the Magnificat. She doesn't really talk about giving birth, does she? Here we put so much emphasis on her expression of faith in relation to birth, yet it's not really the focal point of her words here. Instead, her words point to someone who radically lives by faith. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Reclaiming Mary, then, maybe is a calling for us to bumbalela. Never give up, as our choir just sang a few minutes ago, and why it fits so well into Mary Sunday. And not to sell God out too soon. For, as the angel Gabriel tells Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary is living proof of this. Finally, reclaiming Mary is about lifting up the poor and the outcast. Period. That is what she lived and preached even when Christ was dying on the cross. He has lifted up the lowly. Just the other day, our church office received a visit from a gentleman who lives in West Riverside, over here across the river, who asked if he could get some bed sheets and blankets to keep his family warm. I've been out of work for a while due to putting a saw through my knee, and he needed bed sheets and blankets for family that was coming in to visit. And several members of our congregation have not only responded to this man's request, but have been lifting him up this past week in his family, in word and prayer, as we do so today as well. "Thank you for the leg up," he said as I recently talked with him. "I couldn't go on in many ways without people like at your church." He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Thank you, Mary, for these radical and prophetic words. May our church be able to break free of its patriarchal hold of this powerful prophet of God and follower of Christ. And may we reclaim Mary for whom she really is. Amen.